Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films The Bike Riders, Cold Blows the Wind, and Kinds of Kindness.
I'd like to start off talking about a movie called The Bike Riders, and that is one word. And it is, yes, about motorcycles, about a motorcycle gang. They're called the Vandals, and they're based in Chicago, and they're people who behave and talk and think like one might expect a motorcycle gang to do in a movie. Of course, there's a long tradition, a long history of motorcycle movies before now. A couple of them actually are referenced in The Bike Riders. We see clips on TV from The Wild One, which was a famous movie starring Marlon Brando made decades ago. Also, of course, Easy Rider is also referenced in the film. Apparently, near the end, we find out that one of the characters in The Bike Riders earned some money by sitting on his motorcycle outside a theater where Easy Rider was playing as a way of tempting people to come in and see the movie. Anyway, those are a couple of the famous motorcycle movies of bygone years. There's others too, certainly. Wild Angels, for example, comes to mind. But The Bike Riders is one of the most maybe professionally produced. I mean, most of those movies I just mentioned are very professional. Certainly The Wild One was a real Hollywood movie. Easy Rider was an independent film, but it really made a huge impact on popular culture. The Bike Riders is even more of a sort of a movie than those. You can tell that it was made by real professionals who know exactly what they're doing. That said, it's not particularly slick or glossy. It has a kind of a roughness around the edges. Now, actually, the movie was based on a book of photographs. And a lot of people have been praising the cinematography of The Bike Riders as having that kind of authenticity. It's a very detailed movie, certainly. The images on the screen do look pretty authentic. We have all the period details, the props, the settings, and so forth. That said, I did find it just a little bit on the sort of, I already said these words, sort of glossy side, a little bit slick in a way. So I don't think it's a great movie, visually speaking, although it's a very professionally and well done movie, visually speaking. What really makes The Bike Riders stand out is the acting. This is a terrifically performed movie. Everybody we see on the screen really seems to embody a character in a very full, rich, and believable way, and that is so important for a movie. Now, even though this movie is about a motorcycle gang, and even though almost every single main character and even secondary character is a man, there's a woman right at the center of the movie. It turns out within the film, the person who is going around and taking the photographs of the motorcycle people and also doing interviews with him on his tape recorder, because this takes place in the 60s and 70s primarily, that person starts off the movie and intermittently reappears in the movie, largely interviewing a young woman named Kathy, who is played by Jodie Comer. And so she is kind of a link, and he is kind of a link between these different episodes in the film that take place. So we find out bits of backstory. We get bits of what amount to narration from the Kathy character giving these interviews to the interviewer character. But what we mainly see are the different members of the gang. So I'm going to mention just a couple of them. There is Johnny, who runs the gang, and he was inspired to run the gang and to form the gang in the first place when he saw The Wild One starring Marlon Brando on television way back in the 60s. And Johnny is played by Tom Hardy, and he is a pretty rough and tough and very, very soft-spoken, but very tough-sounding kind of character. So that's the main guy who runs the thing. The other main character is a guy named Benny, played by Austin Butler. And he actually gets married to Kathy, and we see a lot of him over the course of the movie. He's just a member of the gang, but he's an important member of the gang. Last time I remember Austin Butler, he was playing Elvis Presley, I think not very convincingly, in the movie called Elvis just a couple of years ago. But here, he is really, really good as Benny, sort of the really the main male character of this movie. I also want to mention Michael Shannon, who plays a guy named Zipko, who was born very far away on the other side of the world, but he doesn't seem to have much of an accent or anything in this movie, and Zipko is another tough guy, and Michael Shannon is a wonderful actor, and he seems to be in almost everything these days, and he is just fine in The Bike Riders. The story of The Bike Riders is episodic. We have various people come and go. Mainly we follow the characters I just mentioned and a few others, and we see the things that happen with their little rivalries and with their various kinds of problems that they run into, problems with the gang, problems with their own lives, romantic relationships, and so forth and so on. The Bike Riders is a really well-done movie. It's very absorbing. I had a good time watching it. As the filmmaker Paul Schrader pointed out recently, the problem with most motorcycle movies is that the filmmaker often seems unsure as to whether to sympathize with the motorcycle people or to be against the motorcycle people, because after all, they do tend to be a rough and even violent crowd. Easy Rider, I think, is a very good example of that, where the filmmaker Dennis Hopper is sort of partly on the side of himself and the other main character and partly criticizing them. So in the case of The Bike Riders, I think it treads a good middle road. We have what I think amounts to a fairly objective portrait of the motorcycle gang. We see them do bad things. Mostly we get to know them well enough that we kind of understand why they're doing the things that they do and what kind of limited lives they really do have, and how in a way they're just trying to do the best they can, which is not very good. So I think the movie strikes a reasonably interesting and sympathetic attitude without being overboard about the bike riders themselves. The Bike Riders is a movie I really recommend. If you're interested in anything like 1960s and 1970s culture, if you're interested in motorcycle gangs, certainly, then this is definitely a movie to see. Heavily influenced, clearly, by Martin Scorsese, and specifically by Goodfellas. The beginning of the movie is very, very similar to the beginning of Goodfellas. And we also have the use of pop music. Rock and roll keeps coming on the soundtrack over and over again, the way it does in Goodfellas and some other Martin Scorsese movies. So most assuredly, Jeff Nichols, by the way, who made The Bike Riders, was heavily influenced by Martin Scorsese and specifically by Goodfellas. I just want to say one word about the writer-director Jeff Nichols, a very, very talented filmmaker. Not every one of his movies has taken me by storm, but Take Shelter, made back in 2011, is an excellent movie. Loving, back in 2016, is a superb movie about American race relations, and a very, very gentle movie, even compared with The Bike Riders, which has some terrible violence in it, but is mostly a personality portrait, not a movie about action. Jeff Nichols is an interesting filmmaker. The Bike Riders is a very, very good movie. Not a great one, but I do recommend it. Now I would like to turn to a little tiny, low-budget beauty, not a beauty, but a low-budget movie, which is well done of its kind, called Cold Blows the Wind, written and directed by Eric Williford. This is the first real feature, first significant feature by Eric Williford, who wrote and directed it. And it is a little teensy-weensy little low-budget horror movie. And it has a certain virtue, which I'll get to in a moment. What is it about? Okay, Cold Blows the Wind. Well, after a credit sequence, an opening title sequence, which features somebody reciting a poem, who don't know who that person is, but the poem includes the words "Cold blows the wind," and is very ominous. We then get right into our main situation of the movie at the start, which is that a young couple have a body in their trunk. A young couple named Tasha and Dean, they are in their car, they pull up their car, they open the trunk, and they are hoping that the body in their trunk will be dead. But no, it's a young man, and he is definitely not dead. This upsets them a lot. Okay, what's going on here? Soon we find out. They were driving along. They were on their way to a party. It's actually going to be Tasha's birthday. They were going to celebrate all by themselves. They weren't really going to a party. They were going to a little two-person party of themselves. And Tasha had apparently had a drink or two, and she hit this young jogger with the car. And they were hoping that he was dead, because then he couldn't tell anybody that he got hit by this car with this possibly drunken driver. So now what are they going to do? He turns out to be alive. So what happens is, and this is not a spoiler, it's the very beginning of the movie, Dean decides he's going to have to kill the young person who they hit with the car. So he does. He kills the young person and buries the young person. Then our third main character comes in, a young woman named Briar, who is banging on the door and pleading to be let into the place where they're staying. Well, this is so common in horror movies, but anyway, there it is. They let her in, and she turns out to be weird and strange and sinister. So now we have our two main characters, Tasha and Dean, and our third main character, Briar, her name is. They have killed a person and buried a person, and now she is in their lives, and what's going to happen next, and she tells them that out in those woods, what gets buried doesn't always stay buried. So Dean goes out to see if what he buried has stayed buried, and he finds out that yes, the young hitchhiker, not hitchhiker, I shouldn't say, jogger, has come out of the grave and is now wandering around the woods, and then things develop from there. This is a horror movie. Here and there, it has some really over-the-top violence. Not very convincingly done, I think. Again, this is a tiny budget movie, and the special effects are not always top of the line, but it's sort of fun to watch. Now, the virtue that Cold Blows the Wind has, again, the special effects aren't very good. The horror is certainly not always plausible. Things happen that don't seem to me to make any sense at all, but the character development is kind of interesting. Tasha and Dean are just, they're a couple, they've been together a while, and they're very sarcastic with each other. Briar, the woman who barged into their place, is also a sarcastic and kind of an unpleasant person in all kinds of ways. And I just thought that this unpleasantness and the sort of craziness of these characters was nicely done. So it's a movie that often doesn't make sense. It's a movie that sometimes is pretty bloody and horrible in ways that also don't exactly make sense. But it's all kind of fun in its own tiny budget way. If you want to see a little totally modest horror movie, then you could do worse than see Cold Blows the Wind. Finally, Kinds of Kindness. This is another sort of horror movie with a real budget. It's really well done. It has a big name cast and all of that. And I thought it was pretty good. So this is a movie by Yorgos Lanthimos. He directed it and he co-wrote it. And he's a really interesting and daring filmmaker. And for me, his work doesn't always work. He made a movie called Dogtooth, fascinating debut film, well, almost debut film, way back in 2009. Really strange and weird and took a lot of risks. The same thing for The Lobster, which he made about 9 years ago. Then he made what I think is absolutely his finest film, The Killing of the Sacred Deer. Really, really good. Then he made a big hit, The Favorite, which I think is totally overblown and not very good, even though that really put him on the map as a real major mainstream filmmaker. I didn't like it much. Last year, he made a movie called Poor Things, which was hugely well received by all kinds of people. I didn't like it. So how about Kinds of Kindness, his new movie? I think it's a partial return to form. I like it. I think it's good. I don't think it's a phenomenal film, but I think it's an interesting movie, and I hope that Yorgos Lanthimos is on his way back to being the kind of director that I really like. So, Kinds of Kindness is actually a little sort of a Twilight Zone-y sort of a movie with three separate episodes. We do have the same actors appearing in the different episodes, mainly Emma Stone, Willem Dafoe, Jesse Plemons, Margaret Qualley. These people play the main characters, but in each of the three episodes, it's a different character that they play. What remains constant throughout is a person named RMF, just the initials. But RMF doesn't always seem to be the same person either. In fact, it's sort of hard to figure out who RMF is because the sort of role that that person plays in the stories changes from episode to episode as well. That said, the movie's not really as confusing as I probably just made it sound. What we have in the first episode, which is called The Death of RMF, is we have a young man who works for a boss. This is Jesse Plemons. He works for Willem Dafoe, and Willem Dafoe controls every single aspect of this young man's life, even to the point of whether he is allowed to have children with his wife or not. So then there is one thing that the boss demands that the young man feels he simply cannot do. It involves taking the life of another person. And that gets him in a lot of trouble with the boss. Things develop from there. The second episode is called RMF is Flying, although it doesn't really appear to have any flying in it. And here we have a police officer who believes that his wife has been replaced by another person who is exactly like his wife. Things develop from there. The third episode, which is called RMF Eats a Sandwich, even though a sandwich does not get eaten within the episode, involves a cult. and the cult believes that it can find certain people who are able to bring other people back from the dead. And it's all about a search for a new person who can fulfill this function for the members of the cult. So yes, as I said, this is sort of, it's sort of like the old Twilight Zone. We have these little episodes, they're fantastic. In the end, they're sort of inconclusive. They're a little bit hard to figure out, but they're fun to watch while they're on the screen. So, it's a beautifully done movie. The acting is just fine, and I want to single out especially Willem Dafoe, who's a real favorite of mine anyway. Jesse Plemons, who I think just gets better and better and better. Emma Stone is really good in this. She has worked with Lanthimos before. And Margaret Qualley, who for me was the sort of the person who plays the smaller roles, but really in a way sort of dominates the movie for me. So if you want to see a sort of a fantasy, which is really three different fantasies, which are fun and puzzling and intriguing and fascinating, and by the way, totaled together, almost 3 hours long, then Kinds of Kindness is a good movie for you. If you want to start off the 4th of July holiday with some really strange stuff, definitely go check out Kinds of Kindness. It's sort of fun. So that is my, I hope, somewhat kind of kind story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films The Bike Riders, Cold Blows the Wind, and Kinds of Kindness.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.